Our Father, we glorify your name. We adore you. We acknowledge your goodness. We acknowledge your grace. We acknowledge the way you have been moving in our midst this morning. And Lord, it is our prayer that, Lord, at this moment also, you open the gates of heaven and you will rain abundant blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, we pray that you will speak directly to us from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will open our eyes of understanding, our heart of understanding to understand everything you have to say in the name of Jesus Christ. We frustrate every contrary counsel, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will have a free course in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would first like to acknowledge the leadership and thank them for the opportunity to give the message today. Let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So this is Apostle Peter writing, and in this verse he identified two things that he has preached to his audience. So he said he has preached about the power of Jesus, and he also preached about the coming of Jesus Christ. But he was pointing to them that these two things, they were not fables that was just concocted by some people. They were not things that possibly was just part of the figment of the imagination of some people. They were not things that some group of religious fanatics gathered together and fabricated to be able to put people in bondage. So he said that, especially, he said, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is being propagated that he will come back again, it is not a fable or fabrication of some group of religious people. And that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is real. Nowadays, because the time that these people were talking about it has spanned several years, so a lot of people ridicule it. But like you see the language of Apostle Peter, he said it's possible it may take a while, it's possible it may look unreal, but it is very real, and it is not a fable. And so because it is very real, and because of the nature of the coming of the Lord, it is a message that's supposed to be preached as frequent as possible. And what is the nature of the coming of the Lord? It is the fact that it will come unannounced. And people are supposed to be prepared. If something is going to happen unannounced, then it is expected that every minute, every second, the people in question are supposed to be prepared. And that's why it's a message that must be preached as frequent as possible so that people can be kept in preparation. So this morning I'm going to be giving us a message titled The Journey to Heaven, A Race and Not a Right. The Journey to Heaven, A Race and Not a Right. I will be looking at, for our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we will be looking at the whole chapter. For now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9. From verse 1 to the last verse. But I will first give us an overview of the whole chapter. As you open 1 Corinthians chapter 9, three verses, you will notice especially the way the chapter started. If you read, he said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? I am not ye my work in the law." He started in a very strange way. And this is because at the moment when Paul the apostle wrote this letter, there were some group of people that were critical. You look at verse 3. In verse 3, he said, verse 3, "My answer to them that do examine me is this." So at this moment, some group of people were critical about Paul. They were analyzing certain decisions in his life. And some of those decisions, for example, they were concerned that all the people that are known as apostles, they were married. But Paul was not married. Number two, all the people that were known as apostles, they were taking salaries from the church. But Paul was not taking salaries from the church. All the people that were known to be apostles at that time, they were not working. But it was Paul that was working. So they were really critical. And to them, commonality between the people that they think are apostles and Apostle Paul, then they even went to the extent that Apostle Paul possibly is not a genuine apostle. So you see, that's why he started that passage. The whole chapter is more or less in defense of his position. And then so you see from verse 1 to verse 3 that it's giving us an idea of why he wrote the letter. But when you look from verse 4 or verse 3 to verse 14, all these things, Paul the apostle picked them one by one. And really, he agreed that there's nothing wrong in an apostle getting married. And also, there's nothing wrong in a minister of God taking salaries or being maintained by the church. And if you are being maintained by the church, there's nothing wrong if you eventually decided not to work. So he explained that from verse 3 to verse 14. But when you get to verse 15 and between verse 15 and 18, Then the Apostle Paul now explained why he decided not to use any one of those options. It was a personal decision by him. So if you read in verse 15 to verse 18, you will see his defense of his decision not to go by all those things. Not necessarily because those things are wrong. And then when you now get to verse 19 to verse 23, he expanded more that although it is just those three things that you think I decided not to use, but there are many more things that I've decided in my own ministerial approach. So maybe let's read that verse 19 to verse 23. Verse 19 to 23. He said, "For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more." Verse 20, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you." So you see Paul the Apostle expanding more and revealing even other things that he was doing in his own ministry. The one they saw was that, "Why are you not married? Why are you not taking salaries? Why are you working?" Especially because the churches are ready to fund all your expenses. Said, yes. Yeah. So if you look at the earlier part, so he explained the reason why. But I've also read this other part, that Paul was even doing more. And then in the later part, in verse 24 to verse 27, then he explained the reason why he was taking those decisions. And before we read his reason and his basis for making those decisions, I want us to just, as we read it, there are at least seven things that you will notice were the motivation of Paul that was making him to forgo many things. So I will go to them. Number one, he was making those sacrifices because, number one, there is no automatic reward for anybody in heaven. It was something he discovered. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been making and foregoing legitimate things. The passage that we read, you see, he kept saying, "That I may gain more, that I may gain more." His focus was on the reward. And because he understood that reward in heaven is not automatic, then he knew that he must take some step that will help him to be able to secure the reward. Maybe let's read some passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 2:14. Uh,
3:11.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, what is the next sentence? So the reward, is it conditional or not conditional? So that was the realization of Apostle Paul. Now in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man how? According as his work shall be. Now you can put the decisions of Apostle Paul in context. They could have been apostles, but the fact that you are even made apostle does not mean there are automatic reward for you in heaven. The reward for everybody is according to how their work shall be. Praise the Lord. So he felt there are some things that I can do to secure my reward. Now, number two, nowhere, either in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth, is price given to anybody as a donation. Has it ever happened? Have you ever seen it? And you say, the best student in this faculty will be given as a donation to somebody. Praise the Lord. Or in the Olympics, the best and the fastest runner will be donated to somebody. So there is no one anywhere that has ever won a medal on a platter of gold. They just give the person freely. That's another realization. And then let's look at that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24. Now he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He now said, so run that ye may obtain. Why? Because if you run in a certain way, you may likely not obtain. If it is something that is given as a donation, then there wouldn't be any reason to warn anybody that make sure you run in a particular way. So that's the second thing. There is nowhere that prizes, awards are just given to people as a donation. If any award will be given at all, it will be given as a compensation for something that somebody did or after winning a competition, either of the two. But it wouldn't be as a donation. We just donate it to you. Awards are compensation for efforts. So that's the second motivation, second reason why Paul was taking those steps. Now, number three now, everyone that has ever won any medal or prize or award have had to make sacrifices. Praise the Lord. So that's another thing he realized. In the passage we read, he said, everyone that strives for mastery is what? Is temperate in all things. So it's a fact of life. There is nobody that has ever achieved anything meaningful in life and never made any sacrifice. Then the next one, prizes are not awarded to those who just did what is expected, but to those who go beyond what is expected. If you do what you are expected to do, there's really nothing outstanding about it. But really, when you go beyond, then you create an impression. Praise the Lord. And so you see that in that passage, Paul actually introduced his motivation. So let's look at verse 24. After he has explained all these sacrifices and ministerial decisions that he was taking, and he wanted them to understand why, for example, now, marriage is good, but because I realize that this thing is about winning a reward, winning a prize, and I'm interested in not just winning ordinary prizes, he felt, I don't want to get married. He's not saying he's wrong or right. I hope everybody understands. I don't want to get married. I want to sacrifice my marriage because I want to get more prizes. Then he said, they used to pay pastors. They used to pay pastors. But I want to be a unique pastor. I want to create an impression in the heart of God. Said, I will preach like every other pastors, but I will not collect salary because I am targeting something from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in verse 24, that's where he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? He was putting all those decisions in context. And he was trying to make them realize that the Christian walk is a race. And I need to also quickly say, even the Christian, so there is walk, there is work. The two of them is a race. The Christian walk, walking in the house of the Lord, is a race. So everybody needs to be awakened to this reality. Because this is one of the few places where the people we read about in the Bible reveal the secret of their life. Why was Apostle Paul that successful? He's revealing them. I took my Christian walk as a race. And then I took my Christian life as a race. So the Christian walk is a race. But the second to it is, the race is a marathon race. It is not a dash. It is not an 100-meter dash. Why is it marathon? You see, if you become a Christian, maybe it is where, if Jesus does not come, and then you live for 50 years, That's when you go and be with the Lord and you get your reward. You see, so you have to run it for a longer time. If it is a dash, it could be just after you became a Christian, one day you go and be with the Lord. So it's a short thing. But Christian race is not like that. And in the same way, the Christian walk is not like that. It's a marathon. It's something you must be consistent with for a longer time, not for a shorter time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So everybody needs to wake up to that reality. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews, so wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You see, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the what? Yes. The Christian walk is a race. Walk. The Christian walk is equally a race. And he's advising us from the concept of race. If you run well, what do? You remove anything that will not make you to run well. So, I'm not sure many people take their Christian walk or their Christian work as a race. And because of that, it is possible that you work for God and you will end up not get a reward. And it's even possible that you will work for God and you may never end up getting to heaven, talk less of getting a reward. Let's look at our passage again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Praise the Lord. I hope you can see it very clearly. After I have preached, it is possible that your work is a prominent one, that it involves preaching. And that after you have done such prominent work, not small, not hidden, anonymous, but you never did it with this concept, this secret, that at the end of the day, the person will be disqualified. So this morning, I'm alerting us. This is a deep secret revealed by the Apostle Paul. Take the Christian walk seriously. Take the Christian walk seriously. Because both of them are seen as a race. So we must understand that the concept of race is attached to the two of them. But let me give us even more things, maybe about the walk. So in the same way that there is no automatic reward for anybody in heaven, the reward we will get is related to the work we did and how we did it. It is also the same thing with our work. There is no automatic ticket to heaven. Praise the Lord. Nobody has automatic ticket to heaven. entering to heaven also, you have to meet certain conditions. And our walk, our Christian life also is a race. And you also need to be very careful how you walk. You know, Jesus said, you are neither cold today or warm. What did he say he would do? I will spill you out. So there's nothing like, because I have come out and I said I want to be a Christian, then automatically heaven is certain and sure. No. Jesus said, except you overcome. So it's a marathon. And everybody needs to take it very seriously. So this morning, I want us to re-examine our Christian walk. Take it more serious. Even if somebody gets to heaven, it's a wonderful thing. But remember, it's a marathon. It's a race. It is not that, okay, let's read from verse 24. The same 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Then verse 25. Every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. In all things. Have you ever seen somebody that is competing in the Olympics and he has pot belly? Have you ever seen it? Why? They are temperate in all things. And now, he said, now they do it to obtain corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 26 now, I therefore run. This is the way I run. Not as uncertain. I know what I'm looking for. I'm fighting, not as one beating the air. So Paul had that single focus. I want not just ordinary prizes. I want not just ordinary reward. And he also took his Christian life very serious. So as I round up, I want to do a summary and give us like some 7 points. 7 points from the things that Paul wrote. So what I've given us before, those were the things motivating Paul. Now, these are certain specific things, recommendations that Paul gave. Number one, the number one thing is, see, please have the right mindset to the Christian walk and to this Christian walk. Have the right mindset. What is the right mindset? It is a race. Sometimes you visit some people, you follow them up, and then another time they tell you the reason I'm not consistent again is because you stopped following me up. Have the right mindset. If they are following you up, they are helping you. If you have the right mindset, you will motivate yourself because it's a race. Praise the Lord. Number two, understand the implication of every sacrifice made. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, understand the implication of every sacrifice made. I told us. Now, let's look at a situation. You ask somebody, go and run this errand for me. And the person reluctantly went on the errand. And then you call another person,
And before you even finish that, the person should go and run the errand. The person has gone to run the errand. Do people compensate those efforts? Yes or no? Praise the Lord. Then the same thing, understand that every extra work that is done, we receive a compensation. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, Hebrews, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor. Understand that every extra you do will not go unrewarded. So those that are doing extra, please don't feel discouraged. The apostle is telling us now. You can now understand why he refused the money. It's an extra. It is due to him. It's an extra. Praise the Lord. So I pray that we understand this one. Then number three, I've said something related to it. Number three, consistency in self-discipline. Why? It is a marathon. If you are in a race, you run, you stop. After some time, you run, you stop. Then what will be the end? But if there is another person that is running and maintaining consistency, do you think at the end of the day, the two of you will get the same prices? So consistency is equally a plus. The flesh is not your friend. No matter how. You see, the man said, I put my body under because it is not my friend. You don't negotiate with any form of sin. If it is choking you, you take destroying it very serious. You don't trivialize it because it is not your friend. Peter said that abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly law, because the flesh is not just your enemy, but is battling to destroy your soul. So you don't joke with it. Praise the Lord. The next one, purity of motives. Purity of motives. That's why I said you can work for God and at the end of the day you will get no reward. Because when you have wrong motives, it is the same thing as you not doing anything. Now let's look at some passages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For our exhortation, you see, was not out of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak now, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. And then, for neither at any time use we flattery words, as ye know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Purity of motives. So some people will do the work of God and they have ulterior motives. At the end of the day, everybody saw them that they work. But don't be surprised that there is no reward. Because the motives are totally wrong. He said, we are not pleasing men. Everything I'm doing, he said, you know, Even God is a witness. It is not because I'm looking for anything. Purity of motives.
And then the next one,
adherence to the rule of engagement.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4.
No man that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except what? He strive lawfully. And in this area, if there is time, you need to understand adherence to principles and guidelines of how things should be done. No man that is in a race will if you win, but you did not run lawfully, you won't be given the prize. And the house of God, the journey of the Christian life, is not a lawless one. It has guidance and principles. So we must also understand that one. The next one talks about be focused and be goal-oriented. If your goal is heaven, anything that will shift the focus, you fight them. If your goal is to have reward, anything that will discourage you, you fight them. Praise the Lord. So let me go over them. The recommendation of Paul, have the right mindset. We are all in a race. Everybody. There is nobody that has automatic, that in heaven, no, this person now automatically, whether he does anything or not, the rewards are loaded. There's nobody. In fact, there's even nobody that just because you become a Christian, you say, automatically, I'm going to heaven. No. Except you maintain what is expected until your last day. Nothing is sure. You can be sure today, but you know by tomorrow you can change. So have the right mindset. Then number two is, see, understand that every extra thing you do, even if nobody notices, which is strange, God notices. There is no sacrifice. If they say pay 5,000 and you pay 10,000, God is noticing. If they say come by 5 o'clock and you decided to come by 4, God is noticing. I hope everybody understands. Every sacrifice, and you need now, when you understand, to be deliberate about sacrifices. If they must chase you before you come to do one or two things, you understand already that there are minuses that are against you. Because there are other people that they don't need to chase before they do even more than you. So understand the implication of every sacrifice and be consistent in righteousness, in holiness, and self-discipline. Make sure you fight anything that will break your righteous walk. Watch over your motives and then follow the rule of engagement. I want us to close our eyes. And really, I want us to take what we have heard into prayer. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. I want us to rejig your Christian walk. As I've explained to you now, you will also be able to objectively tell what your records with God, what they are. So I want us to rejig. If it is your Christian walk, rejig it now. If it is your walk in the household of God, rejig it now. You can be sure even whether you will receive any reward or not. You can also be sure whether there will be extra things that can be given to you. You can know now. So I want us to rejig your Christian walk. Do you have pure motives? Or all the extras and sacrifices, they are just either for covetousness, either because you want the praise of some people or whatever, or out of bitterness, out of what is your motive? Yes, we see you. You are doing extra and extra and making sacrifices. What is pushing you? You may have records in this church of sacrifices, but because it's out of wrong motives, it's just a waste of time and a waste of life. So I want us to pray to the Lord. I want you to repent. Repent. Repent, plead to God, and start the race again in the right way. In the right way. People may discourage you. You are the one that you know your focus and your goal. If you allow them to discourage you and you drop out, it is nobody's business. So this morning, I want you to repent. I want you to pray to the Lord to help you. To help you. That you want to start again. You now want to take the Christian journey seriously, the way it should be taken. You want to ask for the grace of God. Lord, I pray for grace. Because all of these things, God is ready to help you if you will just allow Him. You want to pray for grace. Brothers and sisters, at the end of life on this earth is the beginning of another life. So being a Christian is an escape from eternal damnation. If you are in this service and you will not take the Christian way and walk serious, you are missing an opportunity to escape eternal damnation. So you need to pray for grace, 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 grace to be able to run the race. Grace to be able to run the race. Grace to be able to run the race. You need to pray for grace to be able to drop all the sins, all the weights. Oh, you know the sin, they are weights. Sin is a weight. All the secret sin, you say you are struggling with them. Please don't just say you are struggling. Overcome them. They are weight. They are weight. So pray for grace. If there is a friend that is a weight, pray for the courage to do away with them today. The journey to heaven is a race. Heaven is not automatic. It's a race.
name we have prayed. Amen. Shall we rise on our feet? It is a very serious issue. When a man starts a journey, maybe a school, and you start a school, and at the end of your maybe 5-year program or 7-year program, you finish or you are sent out of the school without any certificate, how will you feel? How will you feel? Huh? No one will be sent out in Jesus' name. But how will it be after completing, you know, schooling and so on, and they say, oh, you did not meet up with the requirements as a graduating student. After 7 years, how will you feel? Maybe earth sciences of 7 or 8, 7 plus. You spent 10 years. How will you feel? You have labored. You have done all manner of things like that. And to reach, this is, it's not even close to this issue of Christian race. It's just an example. The Christian race that we are talking about, it's not like a plaything. Many of us with saying that it's a plaything. But I just want to plead with you this morning that as you are praying, as you want to pray, you will make a pledge of your life. It is a race. It is not automatic. But our prayer that every one of us will finish well. We will enter into the rest of the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus. We like to cry unto the Lord, Father, help me. Help this life. Father, help me in this journey. Help me in this journey. I will not fail. I will not fall. I will not fall on the wayside. Lord, I know this is a race that I am working upon. I am determined to finish strong. Lord, all the weights that are on me, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, deliver me from all these weights. Lord, remove these weights upon this journey in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, help me. Cry for help. It is not a plain prayer. It's a prayer of a genuine heart, a prayer that is crying that this is a matter that I must fulfill. I must meet up. I must not fail. I must not fail. At the end of the journey, it will not be a failure. Lord God, no, I must not fail. Lord, I am ready to go extra mile. I'm ready to pay the price. I'm ready to make the sacrifice. I'm ready. Lord, help me, Father, in this journey, Christian journey. Help me, Lord. I am ready, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the name of the Lord Jesus, take me out. Take me out of all wrong motives. All wrong motives, take me out, deliver me from all the wrong motives in the name of Jesus Christ. All wrong eye service, deliver me from all this eye service, deliver me, Lord, in the name of Jesus, from all form of deception, deliver me, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, deliver me, rescue my life. I must make it. I must make a very strong commitment of my life for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you and worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, we want to bless you tonight, today, Lord. We want to glorify your name because of the love you have for us. thank you very much, because he that has called us is able to help us. And so, Lord, we come to embrace this help this morning. We come, Lord of heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus, to embrace this help from your presence. Depending on you, not on our own strength and not on our own ability. Crying that you will help us, that we will not fall, we will not fail, we will not falter. In the name of Jesus Christ, in this journey, oh Lord, this journey that we have seen, this marathon journey, that it is a race. Father, we receive the strength to run the race. Oh, Father, we will not be disqualified. By the name of the Lord Jesus, we receive help, oh God, from you. We ask that in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will help us, oh God, and we will give you pleasure in all areas of our lives. Father, every life here, and those of us, those who are not here, who are listening to the sound of this voice, Heavenly Father, let there be grace for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Eternal Father. Thank you, King of Glory. We worship you and exalt you. We thank you very much for your servant that you have used. By the name of the Lord Jesus, together, all of us, we will make it. We will make it. We will make it. In the name of Jesus, we receive strength, we receive more grace for him. In the name of Jesus, blessed be the name forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall I put our hands together for our Lord Jesus Christ?